Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. On one occasion, the elders of the church, where I was the regular preacher, asked me to bring a matter to the attention of the congregation that had evidently provoked from some harsh criticism of the church. Now, the criticism, to my mind, was not absolutely and totally fair. But as is often the case, everybody was thrown into the same bucket with this criticism. And what was criticized was certainly not applicable to all, not even to most. But it ought not be applicable to any. And I had preached on the subject many times before. Probably will do so again, because it seems to be so needed from time to time. But you have to appreciate elders who have concerns about such matters and who want the church to be properly taught God's will. Now, whether I was able to fulfill what they desired is not mine to say, but I received from them their support for the lesson that was brought. And that was some comments on the subject of modesty. I searched for some time for what might be a reasonable and considerate way to bring up this subject, and finally I decided to simply ask a few questions and to accompany them with a few remarks, and that did not take very long to make the point. Well, the first question I asked, does truth matter? I began by asking the congregation if truth really mattered to them. Now, some might be offended at even being asked this, but we'd dare not be naive and think that truth really matters to everybody, not even everybody in the church pews on some subjects. It was not to be asked in arrogance. It was not for a put-down. It was to arouse the thought of personal responsibility for reaction to the truth. And then what does the passage Romans 12 and verse 2 mean? What does it teach? And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Friend, it simply means that we, as Christians, are not to be molded in the fashion of the world. We're not to follow and we're not to imitate the sinful things of the world. We're to be different because of the way that we live. We're to be a peculiar people, Titus 2:14, and that simply means distinctive. Just because others do something, that doesn't mean that it's our way. And I ask the question, how does the devil entice us to sin? In James chapter 1, we're taught that we're enticed by our own lust. The devil uses the avenues of temptation, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, 1 John chapter 2. Just as he tempted Eve, just as he tempted Christ, and just as he tempts everyone else. Well, the next question was this. Is there such a thing as immodest clothing? Now, while Scripture makes it certain that there is, 1 Timothy chapter 2, we raise that question because some people ask, well, what is modest apparel? As if one could never tell what was and was not modest. Paul evidently thought that there is a difference, and that people could determine that difference. What more authoritative instruction do we need? It is obvious that the overexposure of the body creates lust. It provokes evil thoughts and lewd comments, and often leads to fornication. Wearing immodest clothing is sinful. Now that's plain enough for all to understand. And what is modest and what is immodest? Friend, words have meaning, whether you're talking about words in the Greek or in the English. Modest means that which is decent and unpretentious, discreet and shy and chaste, that which does not provoke lust, but purity of thought and action, which prevents shameful acts, is free from what is lewd and sexually obscene and salacious and appealing to sexual desire and imagination. Immodesty is the disregard of the above restraints. And Paul says we're to wear modest clothing. Now that will be significant to those who care what God thinks. And we're asked, do people really realize the effect of their clothing? Why, certainly they do. I don't buy this foolishness that people don't realize the influence and the impact of their clothing. Now this might be true of those who are very, very young, but even in early years, people become impressed and obsessed by what they and others wear. Clothes are deliberately designed and bought and worn because of the effect on others. This is true with both modest and immodest clothing. This is why some take great pains to dress modestly and appropriately, and this is why others imitate the sinful ways of the world. And we need to simply ask the question, how much more, if the abbreviated swimsuits are modest, dear people, pray tell me how much more can one take off before they become immodest? There's simply not much left, and the end is in sight. No pun intended. Skirts are way up to the thigh. Are they shy? Are they chaste? When a woman cannot sit down without the indiscreet exposure of her body, is that modest? Now some know what they wear, and they know what they expose, and they deliberately do this because of the sexual effect. You see some people tugging and tugging, but there's little there to tug. It's like the time a little boy got lost in the grocery store and once reunited with his mother, he was advised from now on to hold on to his mother's skirt, and he said, "I can't because I can't reach it." Now some show themselves fools by denouncing the necessity of modest clothing, and they accuse those who uphold God's standards of modesty as simply being dirty-minded. You see, to them the preacher is a dirty-minded old man. I really resent that stupidity. It is a shame that stupidity is not painful. But suppose everybody that teaches and calls for modesty is a filthy-minded, degenerate, depraved, sexually deranged maniac. That's not so, but let's suppose that it was. But how does that change what Paul wrote? One should be careful who is accused of being dirty-minded. Was Paul dirty-minded? Was the Holy Spirit who caused Paul to so teach dirty-minded? I personally get tired of older women complaining to me about the immodesty of some of the younger women. Well, they're often very right about that. But let them tell the younger women themselves. It's far more appropriate that they do so than for me or any other man. Are not older women supposed to teach the younger women to be chaste? If you think that I'm going to tell some woman, young or old, pretty or ugly, that her skirt is too short or her blouse is too tight, you're a half degree off of being totally crazy. You tell them that, lady. Tell their mothers. And where are the mothers and fathers in this matter? Have they become brain dead? Where are the husbands and fathers who are supposed to rule their homes? Have they just surrendered their responsibility? I say to you, friend, the principles of modesty apply to the young, to the older, to the male, to the female, to the world, but especially to the child of God. It is good advice to dress to show yourself a man or a woman, but also to show that you're a Christian gentleman or a Christian lady. Well, the question is asked, do you think teaching like this will do any good? Well, yes and no. It will do no good for the children of the devil who don't care, and probably not much good for the worldly-minded member of the church. But it will help the faithful Christian, and it will strengthen and encourage those who really love the truth and want to do the will of God in their lives. Friend, you can be sure that when you dress modestly, you can know that you do not provoke lust and violate Scripture. You can know that when you dress immodestly, that you are provoking lust and violating Scripture. You sin. And you cheapen yourself, and you are shameful. You advertise yourself that you lack self-respect, and you're craving for attention, even if it means being cheap. Oh, immodest people, you should be ashamed. And you may provoke lust in the weak and the ungodly, but you also provoke pity and disgust in those who strive to live righteously. No, you're not so glamorous as you think you are, and your sin is not appreciated. And I've never understood why a Christian would want to dress more akin to the Hollywood-type whores and the whoremongers, the street-walking people, the basest elements of society, than to dress according to the way people professing godliness have always striven to dress. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.